This is Agri Futures on Air, brought to you by Agri Futures Australia, driving innovation in Australian agriculture.
Hello, welcome to Agri Futures on Air. I'm Jane Cudahy. It takes a special person to want to change the world, an even more unique person to do it. Jade King grows finger limes in southeast Queensland, a delightful Australian native fruit that nestles itself in a particularly thorny bush. Her concept of commercially growing this fruit came about as a school project where she challenged her students to come up with an ideal crop. Not only did she take their idea on, she's excelled, planting a substantial number of bushes in the years since. She's also committed to building an Australian industry body aimed at growing collaboration between growers and industry and ensuring that Australia remains the home of the fruit. To aid this process, Jade is undergoing a Nuffield Scholarship, supported by AgriFutures Australia, as finger limes are considered an emerging industry that AgriFutures supports through research and development. Jade's is a particularly colourful story, so I started our chat by asking her how she first became interested in finger limes.
Well, there's actually quite a bit of a story about that. It's nothing normal.
Right, I love this already.
I do. So basically, it started out, I had the property, I had some beautiful land, and I also teach agriculture to the local high school. And so in this program, I sort of went, oh, I really want to do something on this bit of land. I also would like to do something native, and everyone's doing macadamias, which are fabulous Australian native crop, but I didn't want to be normal and like everyone else. So I was investigating a few other options, and finger limes were one of those. And I really loved what they represented, and being like a beautiful little horrid bush, really, but a beautiful fruit. And I loved the idea of it, but I thought I still can't choose because, well, choices, it's a big thing. And so I put it to as an assignment to my students in year 12. And I
sort of went, such a good idea.
Yeah. So it was like an emerging industry, look into different agricultural products that I can grow. And I told them, look, if whoever wins through this assessment task, because I had an independent judge come in and listen to the talks, and so whoever wins, I will put in a few trees. And they were quite excited by that. And anyway, they got up and presented, and lo and behold, finger limes absolutely won. And that was one of my students, Taylor Holt, who came up with that one. And so we got that started, and I thought, oh, a couple of trees. And then I looked at the area and I sort of calculated how many could fit in there. And I thought, oh, instead of just doing a couple, I'll do 300 that fit in there. And anyway, not thinking that that was really that much, because I've dealt a lot with macadamias and, you know, there's 80,000 trees here, there and everything. So I thought 300, that's not that many. Anyway, planted them out, and within, once I planted them out, I realised that made me actually a commercial farmer. And so I suddenly became a commercial farmer of finger limes overnight, and after those plantings. And then I thought, it's okay, I've got a whole 5 years to plan for this, you know, until they produce. But my finger limes didn't read that manual. And
of course not.
And within a bit, I was ended up harvesting within about 2.5 years. So my first harvest after that. So that's how it started.
Can you just describe the finger lime to people who may not be completely aware of what they look like and how they feel? Like, I think, you know, it can be described as akin to caviar, but can you describe what the fruit looks like and then also the bush? Because it is quite a hardy, prickly bush, isn't it?
Okay, so yeah, I get this question quite a bit. I'll start with the fruit. The fruit is, I suppose, depends on the variety. It ranges. We've got a number of different colours and varieties, but their shape is generally about, I suppose, a finger size and plumper. And they can come in red, green, or even a dark skin on the outside. And within the fruit itself, you cut it open and there are pearls of citrus. And those they're amazing to look at. They're like little glass see-through pearls, and each of those pearls are filled with this citrus explosion. So that's where they get this lime caviar name from, and they are just different flavors as well. So you get the champagne red that is my main variety, is a red skin, and the pearls are the range from color from champagne through to red, and their flavor is unique. Like it's definitely a lime flavor. Basically explodes in your mouth when you pop those pearls. So it's a texture sensation as well as a flavor one. And then we get the emerald, which is a dark skin variety, and it has a green pearl inside and totally different flavor. I actually don't particularly like that, but a lot of people love the emerald, and I'm really surprised because it's obviously different taste buds there. And then we've got the chartreuse, which is a green skin variety, and inside is a clear pearl, like a white clear pearl, and so you can see through them. They're little glass balls. So their flavor is my favorite, and they are like I liken it to a whiz fizz type sour flavor, and it's I love it. So that's the fruit, and then we go on to the bush, and the bush is a crazy spiky horrid thing.
It is. It's really, I'm trying to imagine you having to harvest these. Do you have to do them individually by hand?
Oh, yes, you have to individually harvest by hand.
With welding gloves or?
Well, initially that's what I thought, welding gloves, because you want enough protection, but you still need to have that dexterity to harvest each little fruit. And so I found some amazing gloves that are soft kangaroo skin, and really you've got that dexterity still to be able to harvest. And so that makes it a lot easier. But you also have to wear jeans, you have to wear long shirts, and you still will get prickles come through. And because you have to pull apart the bush, and it's quite dense, and you get prickles through everywhere, and you spend quite a lot of time getting those out of your hands for days afterwards.
You're not selling this to me, I have to say, Jade. So there must be some, like, what are you focusing on when you're harvesting here? You've obviously got enough of a market and for them to be able to continue on.
To be honest, what I focus on when I'm harvesting is hoping I see the wasp nests that are in there before they see me. But
yeah, again, so, you're not improving this much at all.
Wait up, I can sell my farm as like a day spa, because we get like the acupuncture through the finger line, and then you get the Botox through the wasps. It's fine. We've got the lot.
Oh, my goodness, Jade. Yeah, I'm not sure if that's – yeah, that could work, actually, with your marketing strategy. So, right, it's a very hands-on industry. Who is your market? Where are these finger limes going, and is there a good demand for them?
Yeah, so currently our markets for our property all across Australia, the major markets, Melbourne, Sydney, Brisbane, Perth.
And restaurant trade?
Restaurants, I've got a set few chefs that I supply directly to, and we sort of do a bit of a, like, I love seeing what they create with these beautiful fruit. And so, yeah, restaurant is at local shopping markets and fruit stalls as well. And then we also export overseas to Italy, Hong Kong, Macau, Singapore. So just, and hopefully that will expand as well, as it's their off season when we are harvesting here in Australia. So, it's definitely got a lot of growth to happen to the industry, and hopefully my aim is to see finger limes in punnets right beside your blueberries and your strawberries and your raspberries. So if we can get that happening for the industry, that would be amazing.
That does sound amazing. And we talked about restaurants and the flavors and all of that sort of thing. I've also had it in champagne, which was, I have to say, a bit next level. But do you eat them like you would a piece of citrus, or is it that specialty adding flavor to something else that people would use it?
Well, it's not just adding flavor, it's adding the texture as well. And I think that's the key thing about the finger limes. It's a totally different experience to have them. So as you said, you can have them in drinks. They're a big thing with gin and tonic. So it's not just the flavour you're getting, it's the burst of citrus when you pop those little pearls. So we have them on seafood. Anything that you put lime with, you can use these, and instead of just having the flavour, you've got the experience. And I think one of my favourite just easy everyday foods that I do is a salad, like a mixed salad with say your feta and salmon, throw an avocado thrown through, and then sprinkle these pearls of finger limes throughout it. And as you're eating that salad and you're getting all those textures and flavors, you then get a burst of citrus coming through, and it's so simple to do. And
that sounds amazing.
Yeah, amazing.
I'm coming to your place for lunch. So you planted that original 300 bushes. Have you expanded since then, or you got your hands full and spiked with what you have on the ground?
I have definitely expanded. So those original 300 were meant to be all champagne red. However, the nursery that I got them from sort of didn't tell me until after I'd planted. He rang me up afterwards and he goes, "Oh, so did you get those 10 extra plants I put in?" And I sort of, that dead silence of pause of, "Oh, pardon?" He goes, yeah, they were on the other side. And I understand now as a grower, I can tell the difference. But as a first timer, I did not know what I was looking at when I planted these things out. And so, lo and behold, I had planted out these 10 different ones, which were the chartreuse, in amongst my champagne red. And anyway, I sort of went, "Oh, okay." So I did expand on my champagne red. They're now at about 1,200 trees, and I've got about, and then I expanded on the chartreuse as well, but I took them out and separated them off. And I've now got around about 400 chartreuse planted as well, and a couple of hundred emeralds. So we're nearly up to 2,000 trees, and that is well and truly enough. To harvest is a massive operation and something that goes for around about 6 months. So, and it's quite a tricky to get workers for that long, and I certainly can't do that myself when I'm like full-time working at the same time. So,
no. And do you sell it to them too with the whole spa experience and lining up with their kangaroo skin gloves and jeans?
Well, I try, but they get that experience for the first day, and it's always a question whether they'll come back. It's certainly I know that there's labour shortages across Australian agriculture, but I think I tend to win the one that says no one wants to come back. So it does make it hard.
Yeah, I could imagine. Now, how many farmers are there in Australia with finger limes? What is the...
It's around about 70, and they range from smaller farms, like with 100 plants, right through to the larger operations like myself and bigger as well. So it's a growing industry for sure.
Are they mainly on the east coast of Australia? That's where, because it is a native plant. Yeah. So you'd have to really be where the growing conditions suit it, and that would be it?
Not necessarily. They're native to the rainforest, on the range basically between New South Wales and Queensland. And I've had the privilege of actually walking when I do a lot of hiking, and I found them growing natively. So it's been an incredible experience there. But they do grow outside of those regions, just not possibly as well. I've even got some out at my dad's place, which gets ridiculously cold out there in northwest New South Wales, and also really hot. They also grow, all along East Coast, but there's Western Australia producers as well, and so they are able to be grown quite extensive ranges at this stage.
Yeah, amazing. And yet I have had two finger lime bushes in North Queensland and have killed both of them somehow. I had such high hopes. You are doing a Nuffield scholarship, which, you know, it was one of those amazing programs which really can expose you to any number of industry applications. Can you tell us a little bit about what you're studying in your Nuffield?
Well, yeah, Nuffield is an incredibly amazing experience from what I've already had so far. In my Nuffield study, the idea is that I am hoping to investigate the fingerlime industry as a whole across internationally as well as nationally, and try and establish an industry body or an industry that, like, research base that we can expand upon. So my background actually is in agronomy, and so I do a lot of trials on my fingerlimes, and I also assist with other growers in their agronomy programs and seeing addressing their issues. So I'm hoping to develop a guidelines, I suppose, for producing and growing fingerlimes, and establish a research base that we can all go to. All the growers across the world can look up and get some assistance with any issues that they have on their property, and develop those protocols so that we can all develop a really good product at the end of the day, and expand our, I suppose, where we sell them, our marketing, and really grow the Australian part of it as well. We need to own it in Australia. I mean, it's an Australian native, and yet overseas is already on board. They've got a massive amount of plants going in and also already establishing their marketing and their research. And it'd be just really sad if we don't, as an Australian-based product, really hunt it, like, grab that and take it for ourselves, because and own it, because we should be really proud that this is an amazing fruit that comes from our country, and we need to hopefully get recognition for that.
What's available now within that group of 70 growers? Do you have a bit of an informal network, or are you all operating fairly individually and Googling stuff that you don't know?
Currently, it's fairly individually, and everyone's just really, I think, trying to work out what they're doing themselves. And there's a bit of a network happening. It's really at the beginning stages of things at the moment. And I think we need to eliminate the competitiveness between growers, because that's only going to damage ourselves, and we need to unite and make it so that we have a unique product that we can all say we're all supporting each other. I support another grower at the moment. If I have more markets than they have, I sell their product for them through my channels, and yet they're so supportive in helping establish this industry as well. And so it's like we all need to work together to make sure that the fingerlime industry is one that grows successfully, has the research behind it, and also can be on the world stage instead of just, you know, us managing it in Australia. We need to be international. We need to take the lead in this industry.
Wow. Well, it sounds like a massive undertaking to bring all these people together and groups and bodies together. With Nuffield, where are you going? Because there's always the travel aspect to it. And what are you studying?
I'm actually flying out on Monday to Italy, and then travelling through Italy, France and Spain.
See, the thing about these Nuffield trips, though, they always sound like a little bit too fun to be studied to. I'm just going to Spain and France and Italy. God.
No, definitely. I mean, you definitely take the opportunity to view the country at the same time. But for me, traveling the world is about going to the country anyway and going to the farms. And so I'm just incredibly blessed to be able to do this as part of the Nuffield scholarship. And so they're in a massive citrus industry over there. They already have fingerlimes established as well within that industry. And so the idea is I'm going to be making contact with those growers. I'm going to visit their farms, see how they're producing over there. It is a totally different quality. Australia is amazing at what we do with quality in everything. So it'll be interesting to see how they stack up to us and their product, and how they go about growing it, and also what research they've already conducted. So that's my first lot of travel. My second lot of travel, which will be later on in the year or next year, is to America and California, Florida, Guatemala. They all produce finger limes, and research in the citrus industry is quite large. So I'm hoping to really gather all of that information, gather key contacts within that, within the industries across the world, and be able to form an international body of research and access where we can all help each other and all develop this product that's uniquely Australian. And if we can head that international body from Australia, that would be key to us really maintaining that identity as an Australian product.
Well, yeah, I was going to say, and owning it, as you referred back to before. I just can't believe that there's already that many established crops in other areas of the world.
I was really surprised too, because I thought it was a pretty tricky. Like Nuffield is known for international study and things like that. So when I went for the interviews, I was thinking, how does a product like finger limes get a scholarship like this when it is so Australian based? And yet, in doing further research into it, realised once again we've sort of let one of our amazing products slip through our fingers overseas and not try and, you know, I suppose maintain it for ourselves. So this is a massive opportunity to be able to try and develop that industry and make it Australian.
Yeah, a massive opportunity, but a massive undertaking by you too, because this Nuffield, you know, the study and then the research and what you're trying to do, that's a huge project. So have you've talked about how there are some growers working together with you at the moment, just within your marketing and your farms. When you start to bring all of this together, is there good support there from other places too, like AgriFutures and other organisations that will really help bring home that idea of a industry body?
Definitely. AgriFutures is obviously the number one in that support. And it's initially just trying to get the key growers that are keen to see this happen and get them on board. And also, I suppose, just across not just in the finger lime industry, but to link with other industries that have already done this. So I've got other even Nuffield scholars that have started developing industries themselves that are emerging industries as well and going through the same pathways. So to have those contacts and that network of people is quite helpful and significant as well. So it is a massive undertaking. Do I think I'm going to manage it in a year? Possibly not. And I think one of the key things I really, really want to do to start this is travel Australia and get all those, try and see all the growers in Australia at some point and cover all those growers so that I can maybe pull them together and get this industry off the ground, because I think that's going to be, I suppose, the starting point of building that industry and building, I suppose, the support for it to happen. And that's really where I would like to start to get this industry body happening.
Yeah, and I think one of the great things about Nuffield and that program is the alumni that comes out of it. And I'm yet to see a project that is wrapped up formally within the 12 or 18 months that they allow you. It's that amazing connections and network that comes out of that can support you and give you different ideas and you know, networks going forward. And we've talked about, you know, professionally what comes out of a Nuffield scholarship in this kind of study. What about personally? What are you hoping to get out of it? What do you imagine will come out of it on a personal level?
For me, I think to build an industry and help direct it and head it and be able to say that at the end of the day, I did that and I helped all of those growers and I helped the research and I helped to be a part of that's a personal reward right there. And to connect with all of those people, build such a network of incredibly intelligent and on point people is an incredible benefit to me personally. And also, I suppose, on a home front, to show my kids and that you can do anything and you can chase your dreams, you can do those things, and show them that if you've got something you're passionate about, you can make it happen if you work hard enough.
And at any stage of life too, you know, your children are older, aren't they? So this is a really amazing thing to undertake now.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I'm actually taking my middle daughter with me overseas this time. She's going to join me. She's paying her way. She's had quite a bit of a shock with that. But,
yes.
So she's coming along, but the experience that she will get from that and to see the opportunities that there are in agriculture in any system, like, it is amazing. And I think Australian agriculture and support like Nuffield and there's so many other avenues of support for agriculture. I've tried to, as a teacher, tell my students as well as my own kids, the opportunities in Australian agriculture are massive. International agriculture is massive. You can go into other subjects and you can study them and you'll get little bits of support, but you're against so many people, whereas Australian agriculture is crying out for more professionals, more people in it, and to have the opportunities that go with agriculture. Growing up as a kid, I thought agriculture was you stayed on a farm and that was it, you know. To see that you can do the farming, you can do the study, and you can travel the world, and there are opportunities out there across all of these different avenues is amazing. I've got students that are telling me that they're in, you know, they've got an opportunity to go to Vietnam to just help out in different aquaculture and things like that. They are the opportunities that you get in agriculture and studying it. And I think that's amazing.
Well, Jade King, it has been an absolute delight to hear your story today and what you're hoping to achieve and what I'm absolutely sure that you will. So thank you so much for being part of Agri Futures on Air, and I can't wait to read your Nuffield report.
Yeah, thank you very much.
That was Jade King, a commercial finger lime producer from Queensland's Sunshine Coast. As she mentioned, she's completing a Nuffield scholarship, a tremendous opportunity for anyone passionate about their agricultural industry. If it's something you're interested in, applications for the 2024 Nuffield Scholarship open early in 2023, and there's plenty of information on their website. Thanks for listening. I'm Jane Cudahy, and I'm sure I'll speak to you again soon.
You've been listening to Agri Futures on Air, a podcast brought to you by Agri Futures Australia. For full access to a huge backlog of stories on Australia's agricultural trends and innovations, research outcomes, inspiring stories from our rural leaders, and insights into new and emerging rural industries, please subscribe to Agri Futures on Air on your favourite podcasting app. You can also find more information at our website, agrifutures.com.au.